It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss. Lightning Thursday is brought to you by Fletcher Park Inn, independent Christian retirement community. Fletcher Park Inn, Henderson County's best-kept retirement secret.
The Lightning is on the streets, it's in your mailboxes, and it's on the radio. Lightning radio time here on the Q with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Good morning, Bill. Happy Lightning Radio to you.
Good morning. Happy to be here again, and welcome to Lightning Thursday.
Let's start with breaking news, something that just came in this morning about a missing person alarm that came in from the Henderson County Sheriff's Office.
Yeah, I think it was just about, looks like 6:26 a.m. today. We got notified, so did you as well, and other media outlets. People need to be on the lookout around the landings of Mills River, that assisted living facility on Haywood Road, for a gentleman, 88 years old, by the name of Medford Jerome, who walked away from the facility last night. About 12:30, looks like about 12:30 a.m. today, so just a little after midnight last night, was seen walking away from the facility. He does have some cognitive impairment, according to the sheriff's office, and is said to be here. He's a white male, 6 feet 1, 175 pounds, with gray hair, blue eyes, and wearing wire-rimmed glasses. Go on HendersonvilleLightning.com, and you can look at a picture of the gentleman. So keep your eyes peeled around that area. Maybe some of the lanes or roads, or I guess they'd probably a search out in the woods or whatever for the gentleman.
All right, so keep an eye out, and again, you can get a picture by going to HendersonvilleLightning.com. There's also another couple of stories on HendersonvilleLightning.com that we'll get to later that are not in this week's issue. But let's start with this week's issue and the big elephant in the county right now, and that is talk of the Acosta Trail. And you got a big story right here, Bill. Businesses along tracks say yes in my backyard.
Yeah, we haven't said that too often, but a little bit of a twist. At least this is a part of it. And later on, as we get deeper into the story, we can talk about some of folks already saying no, please. We'd rather not have it in my backyard. But in this case, we decided to look at one that I don't know seemed fairly obvious to us. For one thing, of course, we're talking about the Acosta Trail, the 19-mile proposed, but gaining some momentum. The proposed greenway from Hendersonville to Brevard having gained this momentum because of that $6.5 million grant that the North Carolina Board of Transportation about 2 weeks ago, almost three, granted to Conserving Carolina, the Land Conservancy, who would be the lead agency to negotiate and purchase the corridor. Exactly right. Idea being use the federal rail banking law to convert this really to a paved greenway from Hendersonville to Brevard, raising the question, well, reckon what would happen if we actually had a greenway on this path.
Yeah.
And so the Lightning had the idea to go visit breweries and coffee shops and other businesses along the Acosta Trail and ask them, well, have you heard the news and what do you think? And to a person, they've all heard the news and done some cartwheels and said, yeah, we... you mentioned Appalachian Coffee. That was a place we visited, and they kind of knew from the beginning because they're fairly new. And
yeah.
I think they were kind of outdoorsy and bicycle and recreation oriented anyway. And they knew that they were right on the tracks and that the tracks could become potentially a greenway. Interestingly, we went to interview our friend Jeff Gallagher, the owner, founder, and brewer of Dry Falls Brewing Company, which has had a great start there for, a year or so now on Busy Bend. And he pretty much said, we're very interested. We know about it. We've heard this news. But unlike the coffee company there, right there, almost at the edge of Laurel Park, that's on Busy Bend. and he said, this is a blessing. It's not something we knew about so much or thought of. He just liked the old Oates Paint and Body Shop. He liked the look and feel of it. He did like the location. But he said, this is a case where we were just, in the right time at the right place. And we certainly think we could capitalize on it.
Which is interesting because you have everything from that side of the story to the brewery that's in Mills River and Appalachian Coffee, who said, look, we want to be right on this just in case it happens.
For sure.
And here you go.
Yeah. And we say here, he started Dry Falls on Busy Bend because he liked the old Paint and Body Shop. And it's 172 steps along Canoga Road from the tracks to Dry Falls. And I think we counted off 32 steps from the tracks to Appalachian Coffee Company.
Yeah.
And we have a picture here of the Appalachian Coffee Company manager, Zach Pickett, standing basically on the railroad tracks. And then you can see the business, the old garage store there. The business has also done very well. It's got a nice deck, and that's busy almost any time of day or night you go there.
Yeah.
And we go on to say that for some reason, bicycling, of course, we're not just talking about bicycling. It could be runners, could be families, couples, older people, whatever, that are out for a walk, moms and dads with baby strollers, all of that stuff. School groups might even want to walk on it and look at things from time to time. Bicycling and craft beer, though, just for whatever reason, seem to go together.
They sure
and
do.
Listen to this. As you mentioned a while ago, along the Coosa Trail, two-wheelers could make stops at Dry Falls, Appalachian Coffee Company, which is not a brewery, but it's more of a bottle shop.
Yeah.
They got all kinds of different local and out-of-town craft beer there. So they could start at Dry Falls. That'll be near the trailhead. They could go to Appalachian Coffee Company, Sideways Farm and Brewery, which would be a short bicycle ride and conceivably a walk as well from the Greenway, Sideways Farm and Brewery in Etowah, and they could end at, guess what, Oscar Blues.
Yes.
And then we go on to say they could take just a push on a little bit farther and go to a brewery named, guess what, Acosta Brewing Company, there at the gateway of Pisgah National Forest. And we interviewed the founder, owner, brewmaster there. And he absolutely says he can see it happening. He said, I've been a huge advocate for that project even prior to getting the brewery going. And he hopes that can happen. And then we go on to explain how that really could happen, although the Acosta Trail, the end trailhead would be around the old Acosta Mill, paper mill property, which is now owned by someone else and has been a proposed, but nothing's been happening with it, a proposed mixed-use development. It would end there, but there's the city of Brevard already has a grant to connect from there to Oscar Blues with the Greenway. And then there already is a part of the city of Brevard's Greenway network goes from Oscar Blues into the rest of their Greenway. And you could get from there to where the Acosta Brewing Company is, but into the Pisgah Forest, into the middle of town. I've ridden on those greenways as well. So there's already a pretty good network that you would feed into in Brevard and go to different places, even to downtown Brevard, from the western trailhead of the Acosta Trail. You might ask, well, is this greased to be approved, by everyone? Probably not. We quote from a letter that was not sent to us, but it was sent to two other newspapers, Hendersonville Times News and Transylvania Times, of some property owners in Pisgah Forest that are strongly opposing it and they're criticizing as a taking of property without consent, which it wouldn't. If they took any property, they'd have to pay for it.
Right.
And then we have some response in here from Chris Burns that says, no, that letter really was not very factual. Chris Burns, who is a founder of the Friends of Acosta Trail and was a chair of the Greenway Master Plan Committee, goes on to say they claim that it's a land grab, which it is not, according to Chris. It's the railroad's corridor, and the railroad has a right to do with the corridor whatever it pleases, and one of the options is to sell the corridor, which is what they're choosing to do. So it's probable that we'll we'll hear more about this discussion from some landowners, and we'll be following it in the Hendersonville Lightning.
And keep tuned here to the Q. Also, I spoke with Chris just day before yesterday, and he's going to be a guest on the morning show sometime in the next week or so to help clear some of the fog about what's happening with the Yocosta Trail. But if anyone wonders about businesses along something like that, all you got to do is go to go get on the Swamp Rabbit Trail. Go see what it's done for the areas along there. Go on the Virginia Creeper and just see that and see those businesses along and see what it's done for some sleepy little towns.
Yeah, and that's a good point. And what Chris also says along those lines, not so much this was just a different topic about, well, is it a good is it a good or bad thing? Will it bring people? Will it cause harm to the property alongside of it? And he makes a good point. He said, we've got good greenways. They're not super long, but we've got good greenways in Hendersonville and Brevard now. Just go look at those and ask people yep. around them, have they created a big problem? Go pull the police logs for all of those locations and see if there's a large number of crime or incidents that police have responded to, and the answer is negligible. I think the Greenway Master Plan reported that there were two incidents on the Ocklawaha Greenway, and none of them violent crime or anything.
Exactly.
That happened over the 7 or 9 years that we've
right.
had that greenway.
Right. You're listening to Lightning Thursdays here on The Q. We'll be back in just a bit. Let's hear from some of our sponsors.
Fletcher Park Inn is the best-kept retirement secret in Henderson County. Make plans now to come for your tour and complimentary lunch at the only Christian independent retirement community in the area that offers a daily lunch buffet with meat and vegetarian and vegan options. Don't miss our summer special. Sign up before Labor Day and your first month is totally free. Come and see our spacious remodeled apartments available now. Call Lisa for details, 209-6935. This is Linda McIntyre, director at Fletcher Park Inn, inviting you to visit today.
Go to Line Imaging, the local company that you can trust as your single point of contact for office equipment sales, supplies, service, and repair. Duraline Imaging provides copier and printer sales and service solutions that lower cost, reduce waste, and simplify operations. Give Duraline a chance to earn your trust and your business by giving them a call today at 692-1301. Duraline Imaging, 692-1301. Relationships matter, and trust must be earned. Trust Duraline Imaging, Upwood Road in Hendersonville.
Welcome to Wag Pet Boutique. Oh, hi, Brian. How are you?
Hi, Caroline. Guess what? I just adopted a dog from Blue Ridge Humane Society.
Oh, my goodness. That's so exciting. I'm so happy for you.
So, look, I need a leash and a dog bowl and a pet bed and some treats.
Well, hold on. Every dog is an individual, so let's just pick out a couple of things now, and as you get to know your new best friend, we'll help you pick out exactly what your dog needs.
That's great advice. I'm so glad I came to Wag first.
Well, we're always happy to see you, Brian. Tell your friends to come visit us at Wag Pet Boutique on Main Street in historic downtown Hendersonville.
Lewis Williams & Sons is the area's largest distributor of Makita tools and your Makita authorized service repair center with a complete line of Makita cordless outdoor power equipment, chainsaws, blowers, string trimmers, hedge trimmers, lawn mowers, and more. Visit Lewis Williams & Sons in sunny and friendly East Flat Rock at 300 West King Street, just down the street from Case & Builder Supply. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. Saturday, 8 till noon, Lewis Williams & Sons. Online at lewiswilliams.com.
And we are back with Lightning Thursdays with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Bill, all this and we're still on the front page. Next story here on your front page. Healthcare for neediest faces a tidal wave on horizon.
Yeah, this story is less jolly than the one beside of it, which is, as you say, it's long and complicated. I'll try to walk you through it. What happened is, a couple years ago now, the state of North Carolina sought and received a waiver from the federal government for how it delivers Medicaid,
yes.
which is the federal health care program for eligible low-income families, which is usually mothers and children, and the disabled, and and quite a few elderly recipients as well, such as income eligible older people in nursing homes. That's a big expenditure of Medicaid as well. And it will convert, it sounds like, about 2/3 to 3/4 of the 26,000. That's a big number if you think about it, that we have 26,000 Medicaid recipients in Henderson County.
Wow.
You wouldn't know it was that big.
Wow.
It would convert probably 2/3 to 3/4 of the 26,000 Medicaid recipients in Henderson County to one of four, wait for it, managed care programs.
Oh.
And there is gathering storms on the horizon over how this is going to work, if at all, how well it's going to work. And as we say, there's a combination of factors, including the state budget stalemate between the governor and the Republican-led legislator, the refusal so far of more than half of the state's Medicaid providers to sign on to the rates of the managed care plans, and then locally, at least, and probably in all 100 counties, a predicted work overload on county caseworkers as they try to walk through these many hundreds of Medicaid recipients through, try to walk them through the process of signing up for a managed care plan. So you can read all about it. It's a long story. There's a map. We show a map here that shows all 100 counties, what region they're in. We're in region one, but that does not go chronologically in time. We're the second deadline. Henderson County is supposed to start signing up our Medicaid recipients on the program October 1st for the plans that would be effective in February of 2020. And there's already down in the Piedmont, the Triangle area and the Piedmont Triad, there's two regions that are supposed to be effective. Their effective date is November 2019.
Huh.
They're supposed to already have plunged into enrollment. There's all kinds of problems because of the budget. Basically, without a 2020 budget, there's not the money. There's not the money to pay these providers.
Uh-huh.
So the Department of Social Services Director, Jerry McFalls, who did a really good, pretty thorough presentation to the county commissioners a couple weeks ago, said this whole thing could come to a halt if there's not a budget, if we get into certainly mid-September and there's no budget, because without this new budget, there's no appropriation to pay the provider. So who knows what happens? We can't say exactly what are going to happen, but Commissioner Bill Lapsey, who is very familiar with health care policy and the healthcare situation, not just locally but statewide, because of his role as a past chair of the party board of directors,
yep,
and because of his role as a current member of the UNC, the big board, the
yep,
UNC healthcare board that meets in Chapel Hill, and because of his role as the county commission liaison to the board of health, the Henderson County Board of Health, which carries out all the public health. And now this program is more administered by DSS, oddly enough, than the health department. But Lapsley, excuse me, being familiar with all this, says he sees a huge number of Medicaid patients are going to try to get a doctor if more providers don't sign up. This is a quote from Lapsley. They're going to try to get a doctor for service, and the doctor can't see them. They're backed up at the front door. They can't get in. So what's going to happen? These patients are going to go to Park Ridge, now called Advent Health. They're going to go to the emergency room in Pardee, and they're going to ask for charity care, and the system is going to start breaking down. So without having a solution, and Grady Hawkins had sort of a grim quip that, well, we were looking for a solution, and Lapsley said, sorry, I don't have a solution. All I see is a problem. So we'll continue to bird dog this as well. Like I say, an unjolly story, but important to get that out there, because if the public knows that these problems are on the horizon, maybe someone will step up and try to help.
All right, that full story is in this week's Lightning. Also, prep football time. Morris Broadband Friday Night Football on the Q starts tomorrow night with East Rutherford at West Henderson. And you've got a prep football review here in this week's Lightning.
Yeah, we got two pages of prep football coverage in this week's Lightning. The preview you mentioned is the That is all four of the football coaches of our, the head football coaches of our teams, Paul Whitaker of West Henderson, Justin Heatherly of East Henderson, Jim Beatty of North Henderson, and Jim Sosaby of Hendersonville High School. They previewed their 2019 squads at a recent meeting of the Kiwanis Club, and we have that coverage. They all plead that they have very young teams. They have young rosters. They had holes to fill in skill positions and otherwise. Some of them say they got they had more than half of their starting positions to fill. But they all expressed optimism, said they had a good summer practice, and they're ready to go and get out there and try to be competitive. So if you want to enjoy some good football at under the Friday Night Lights, all you got to do is go out tomorrow night to see some good home games. East will be hosting Owen, and Hendersonville hosts North. So that's an intra-county game mm-hmm. that you can watch. And as you mentioned, West hosts East Rutherford. So all the games are here this week. All the teams are at home. It'll be a good evening to see them roll out the season.
Great. And tune in every Friday night here for Morris Broadband Friday Night Football, starting at 7 o'clock. There's some safety issues that were also brought up at the Kiwanis meeting with these coaches, too, right?
That's
with
exactly
these new
right.
helmets from Pardee.
And in those games, the youngsters, it's just a few of them, really. It's not, I don't know if I'd call it a pilot. It's all across, it's in a certain number of teams, I don't know how many across the state, but we mentioned UNC Healthcare and its relationship with Pardee a while ago. This is actually has a connection to UNC, and the interim chancellor of UNC is one of the leading experts on concussions and concussion measurement and concussion policy and protocols, one of the leading experts in the whole wide world, really. And this program is a part of his that's a very large research program that's been used by the NCAA and the NFL to figure out what to do about concussions, how to recognize them. Dwayne Durham, who is the Pardee Sports Medicine director, is emphatic in saying these helmets do not prevent a concussion. They do not even diagnose a concussion.
Right.
What they do is measure the G-force, measure the impact of a hit, player to player, helmet to helmet, player to ground, all of those different collisions that can happen on a football field. This little sensor, less than the size of a dime, this little sensor in the helmet, which costs around $500, the whole helmet costs around $500, it's attached in wireless way to a tracker that the football trainers will have. So they'll say, oh, that was a this says any hit over 90 G-force can potentially cause injury to the brain, leading to a concussion. And early detection is critical to better treatment, the doctors say. So you got one and say, oh, that was a 120 G-force. We better have a look at that kid.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And you read the story because it's interesting.
Yeah, it really is.
Just beyond that, how North Carolina is one of the leading states in the country for concussion protocol. And Dwayne Durham explains how that works and why we're a leader in concussion protocol and how Pardee Sports Medicine, which has does the sports medicine for something like five counties. He describes how that works.
Yeah, that was a very interesting part of that Kiwanis presentation. We got a few more stories to touch on before we finish our Lightning radio this morning. Ask Matt is back in the back in print this week.
Yes, I'm glad to say. Maybe my phone will start ringing because people, when Ask Matt is on hiatus for whatever reason, either because he is or we run out of space and he ends up on the cutting room floor, then I get calls. So Ask Matt is back, and this week he answers a question. I noticed that in the Stroop murder trial, the defendant is being represented by a public defender. How does that work? And that is asked Matt answering how it does work that that murder defendant, Philip Michael Stroop II, is represented by the publicly paid public defender office. That's a capital case, so I'm sure the billable hours will go up. Go up and up there, but get the whole answer from Ask Matt.
Also on page 27 in local news, you have your congratulations article here for Sue Powell, who's the Mills River town clerk, who is just announced North Carolina's Clerk of the Year.
Absolutely. And this was really fun. And that's a fun picture of all the smiling Mills River council members and Mills River staff. Very proud of Sue winning this state award. It's the type of thing where I would say I was pleased and impressed, but not surprised. She, as the mayor, as former town manager said, Sue is the institutional backbone of Mills River. Her advice helped me make better decisions in the interest of Mills River. I was fortunate to work with her for 4.5 years. And Shea Davis points out, the mayor Shea Davis points out, as the town's first employee in 2003, remember, when it incorporated, Sue has had to wear several hats, from human resources, planning and zoning, to accounting, tax collector, finance and clerk. She's been an enduring presence for the town all that time. And again, congratulations to Sue. Good job.
As we are congratulating, we also need to congratulate the Waddells. This is a story that you'll find on HendersonvilleLightning.com, but because it's a new story, it's not in print. And that's the Waddells getting the Big Sour Award from Henderson County Community Foundation.
Yeah, a really big award. It's the highest honor that the Community Foundation gives. I think you were there for that.
Yeah.
And, really good. Again, impressed and deserving. I can't be too surprised that the Waddells would receive this honor. And I thought it was really interesting what Hall Waddell said and recalled going back to, I didn't really know what a foundation was when WHKP owner Kermit Edney and attorney Ken Youngblood approached him about getting involved, and he said that's kind of how it got started. And Kermit and Ken really promoted it. And here's the going home quote from Hall Waddell that he wants people to recognize about philanthropy and the way it's practiced by the Community Foundation. It was just fascinating to me, he said, how you could put a fairly small amount of money into an endowment and all of a sudden you could look back 20 years later and the fund has doubled and you've already given away half of what you put in.
Wow.
The foundation doesn't tell you how to give. You give to what you want. To those who allot have been given, a lot is expected, so I challenge you to keep that in your heart. So it was a really nice presentation and nice acceptance remarks by Hall and Sonia.
And once again, very well deserved.
Yes.
Another story that you'll find on the Lightning, lightning.com, Blue Ridge Community College, County OK's $23 million in a building plan and some improvements.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of action out there, really, kind of in the, I guess you'd say, sort of the front yard of the Patton building is where all of this building is going to take place, which is a new classroom, some major, major renovations of Patton, and that POPAT, which is the police officer physical abilities test facility, that POPAT, you might recall that we talked about for, going on 3 years as part of a training center that the former sheriff, Charlie McDonald, wanted to have. Well, that's been a need out there for a long, long time, and because it doesn't have a separate facility with gym, with lockers and showers and the kind of training mats and so forth that they need. So that's a part of this as well. So look for that to go on through the spring of 2022.
Excellent, Bill. We've just touched on what's in this week's Lightning. There's far more, so make sure you get your copy of the Lightning. And Bill, how can people get their copy of this week's Lightning?
Well, they can get one by going to any of our 60 Lightning Orange racks all around the county or visiting our Lightning partners such as convenience stores, coffee shops, or the Publix supermarket, or by going to HendersonvilleLightning.com and clicking on that red tab that says, appropriately enough, subscribe, and that'll walk you through how to join the legions, the growing legions of Lightning fans and get their Lightning either online or through the mail, or call Jan at 698-0407 or come see us at 1111 Asheville Highway.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This and other episodes of Lightning Thursday are available via podcast at WTZQ.com. Click on air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday. Lightning Thursday is brought to you weekly by Fletcher Park Inn, independent Christian retirement community. Fletcher Park Inn, Henderson County's best-kept retirement secret.